Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct on Devil Radio. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. You know, I want to get at an issue on the impeachment and the conviction phase that people really aren't owning up to. It's very, very important. And that is this. When the impeachment clause in the Constitution was written in 1787 or so, there were no political parties. George Washington didn't belong to a political party. There were no political parties. And he was outraged about the idea of political parties. There were two that were starting to form, the Federalists, and then the more Jeffersonian state rights. So Adams and Hamilton were more the Federalist bent. In other words, we need to be a Federalist country. You can't have states overruling things. And Jefferson and ultimately Andrew Jackson and others the other way. And they have roughly shaken down into some of the ideology of the Democratic and Republican parties now. Well, the Republican Party betrayed it, basically went cultist and fascist with Trump and is breaking up. But in any event, so when you have no political parties, it makes a lot of sense that you need 2/3 of the vote of the Senate to remove a president. The majority in the House, that can be accomplished. But 2/3 is a high bar, but if there are no political parties, it's not an impossible bar. It's not impossible. If you have people, the quality of the people that were in the first Senate, they're sitting around, they're not political parties, they're not beholden to anybody. There's no Citizens United, there's no TV, you know, there's no social media. And they said, well, has this guy done it? Did he, in Trump's case, incite an insurrection or betray us to Ukraine? That first Senate and the second Senate and the third Senate would have convicted Trump in a heartbeat by 100 to nothing, because there are only two senators per state. And back then, in the colonies, and then they admitted a few states, a lot fewer senators, but there 2/3, 100% of that Senate would have done it. Once you get political parties and you are going to impeach a president in the House of Representatives, that means that to get 2/3 overall, you've got to get virtually all of the party that the president doesn't belong to, in this case, the Democratic Party, and you've got to get a lot of votes out of the other one. And in the party system, no party is going to give the votes, even if they're the minority party, to remove a president of their own party. They just are not going to do it. They are not going to do it. Look at Trump in the Ukraine impeachment and in the insurrection impeachment. Anybody looking at it objectively would say he had to be removed, but he wasn't. And the Clinton impeachment was a crooked, false impeachment. The Republicans started an investigation over Whitewater, which is a land deal in Arkansas that they lied about and said the Clintons were involved in, and they weren't. But once they had him under oath, and I think Clinton should not have submitted to a deposition, Trump didn't, they started asking about his sex life. There is a rule in the Justice Department, you don't ask somebody about his sex life unless it absolutely relates to the offense at issue. Because everybody is going to hedge about it, everybody. And that way they trapped Clinton, and then he still was acquitted. The Democrats weren't going to go along with that. Now, somebody astute among the listenership might say, but Matt, back with Nixon, he resigned because he was going to get convicted. So how did that happen back then? Here's the answer. That was a very Democratic era. You may not remember this, but in 1974, after the elections, Democrats had a veto-proof majority. They had 67 senators. So the Democrats basically could have convicted him on their own. It's very rare for one party to have that kind of margin. And even at the time he resigned, he could see the handwriting on the wall. The Senate polls weren't looking good. And there were so many Democrats, they only needed a couple of Republicans. And Republicans in blue states were scared for their lives. The only reason that Nixon resigned was because he knew he would be convicted almost exclusively by the Democrats. It was a very rare circumstance. Prior to that, in some of the initial motions, the Republicans fought against doing anything with Nixon, anything. It was only at the end when they saw it was inevitable that they went and squeezed them. What Nixon did was wrong, but Trump, quite frankly, did worse. Both of them were criminals and both of them should have been removed. So what do we do about it? Well, to amend the Constitution takes two-thirds of Congress, three-quarter ratification from the state. That's never going to happen again, and hardly anything will that never happen again. So what do? You understand that no president will ever be removed in the future, no matter what he does, given our party system, unless one party has so many senators. And you can't gerrymander Senate seats and you can't gerrymander governor's positions because they're statewide. You can't gerrymander the whole state. That is the saving grace. But when somebody gets 57 votes against him, seven of them from his own party, Republicans in this case, that is a moral judgment on Trump. And he was already out of office anyway. So I'm tired of people saying he was acquitted. He was acquitted under the standards of 1787 when there were no political parties. But he was not acquitted under any normal look at an election, at a vote, anything like that. We're going to the lines. Mark from the SAC, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Mark from the SAC?
Well, you brought up Bill Clinton's impeachment. If I remember correctly, the guys that were screaming the loudest for Bill Clinton's scalp were also engaged in their own little peccadilloes at the time. I mean, not that should mean anything, but I think they, each and every one of them, you know, Newt Gingrich and the little mustachioed guy, I can't remember what his name was, but apparently they had their own little affairs going on at the same time when they're, you know, they're talking really smart about, you know, Bill Clinton's infidelities, and they had their own little thing on the side. You know, in Newt Gingrich's case, you know, that I don't know how many things he had on the side. And that was a bogus thing, you know, that the rest of the world was just kind of shrugging their shoulders over the fact that Clinton was, you know, being impeached for that, where I think the rest of the world looked very differently on the latest, on the insurrection impeachment of Donald Trump. That's just my one man's opinion. And Bill Clinton has gone on to do some decent stuff, and you know that since he's left office, but of course it tarnished, you know, that Hillary's, you know, that in the eyes of some tarnished Hillary's reputation that she stood by him, and that like she said, they were going after her for 30 years, that to besmirch her, to keep her from, you know, her political goals.
Yeah, well, let me get back and revisit that, Mark, because you're raising some good points. But the truth of the matter is that was a Whitewater investigation, a real estate deal, and Ken Starr broke the rules from the Justice Department, and Clinton, in retrospect, if he'd had a better lawyer, would have said, I'm not giving a deposition. The heck with you, I'm not giving a deposition. That's what Trump did, and he didn't do it. And then you shouldn't have to answer questions like that. They're hypocritical questions. But secondly, you know, people nowadays sort of lightly say, well, Clinton, you know, maybe Clinton was one of the great presidents of the 20th century. Roosevelt was preeminent. And of course, Truman. But then you have Kennedy and you have Clinton. Reagan, some will say, I didn't agree with Reagan, but, you know, for a Republican, he ended up not being as much of a nut job as a lot of Republicans. But listen, Clinton, the Irish peace accords, why do you think there's peace in Northern Ireland right now? Clinton. And the Middle East peace accords kept the lid on things. And he went in during the warfare in the Balkans and with the Dayton Accords helped put an end to that. I'll tell you something. I've met a lot of people in politics and of presidents. I've met, you know, Jimmy Carter, met Bill Clinton. Met basically all of them, met Hillary Clinton, I met Ted Kennedy and all these people. The two smartest people, and I'm not saying this lightly, the two smartest people that I have ever met in anything, but this includes politics, are Bill Clinton and Governor Pat Lucey of Wisconsin. If you ever met either one of those people, you would say they are a gold standard that is seldom met. Now, Pat Lucey was a great governor. He ran for vice president with John Anderson in 1980. And I think he would have been a great president. He's passed away, friend of mine, good guy. He was superb. He's the guy that modernized Wisconsin. He modernized Wisconsin when he was governor, 1970, reelected in 74, and then became ambassador to Mexico. But Bill Clinton, there's no one close. There was literally no one close. So I'm very tired when people, he was one of the great presidents of the 20th century. And Hillary Clinton, why it's anybody's damn business what, how they conduct themselves, I never knew. She didn't lose because of that. She lost because Comey, crooked Comey, a Republican, was investigating Trump for collusion with the commie Ruskies, and then Hillary for the server thing, and he decided that Hillary had done nothing wrong. He did not decide that about Trump. And he only announced Hillary right before the election, right before the election. Are you kidding me? Right before the election, and not Trump. And then Mueller took a dive. We're going to the lines. Bill of Oconomowoc, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Bill?
Good morning, Matt. I love your topic, and I love the comparison of Clinton's impeachment to Trump's impeachment. Here's the deal. Clinton got impeached for an affair. Trump was charged with murder, treason, insurrection, all of it, and he walked away. That's how Republicans look at our Constitution and our country. That's
right.
How they deal with it. I have a close friend who happens to be on the other side, and he sends me these texts and information, and, we kind of back and forth, but they're good-natured jabs. They're not vicious. But I did tell him this last night. I said, if you want the worst 4 years of your life, tune into Fox, turn it up, make sure it runs 24 hours a day. I guarantee you, you'll be in such severe depression, you'll need a psychologist.
Yeah, good.
Thank you, man. I always like your points.
All right, well, good. Bill, I always enjoy you calling in. We're going to a break. Bill, thank you very much for calling in. Some great points. We're going to a break. The lines are still open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.